At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Now, in a scathing critic, the Attorney General, Dr. Dominic Ayine, has accused the Ghana Bar Association of descending into politics and abandoning its core principles. Speaking at the annual GBA conference in Wa, Dr. Ayine expressed disappointment with the association's inconsistent advocacy and perceived bias. Dr. Ayine, who's also the leader of the bar, pointed out the GBA's silence on the removal of the former Electoral Commission chair, Charlotte Osei, and her deputies, contrasting it with a vocal stance on the constitutional process to remove the Chief Justice Gertrude Torkon.
We must remember that our allegiance is first and foremost to the Constitution and this Republic, not to transient political interests. Over three decades have passed since the adoption of our Constitution. During this period, our Republic has tested and continues to test the resilience of its democratic institutions. In doing this, the bar has played a crucial role in assisting the Supreme Court to interpret and enforce the Constitution. But outside the courtroom, the advocacy of the bar as a professional group has lacked consistency, bringing into question its adherence to principles.
While the Attorney General alleged the GBA's voice often echoes that of the opposition party, suggesting a political tilt rather than a neutral professional stance, Dr. Ayine described the current GBA as, quote, self-serving, unquote, implying the organization prioritizes its own interests over the broader legal, professional, and societal needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, when in 2015, an Article 4146 petition was received by the Chief Justice in relation to the former chairperson of the Commission on Human Rights and Administrative Justice, Madame Loretta Lamphe. The bar failed to speak out about process. In the run-up to the 2016 election, the then opposition New Patriotic Party engaged the Electoral Commission in court battles over the voter identification system. This gave rise to the Abu Ramadan line of cases. Immediately upon assuming office in 2017, an Article 146 petition was filed for the removal of the chairperson of the Electoral Commission, Mrs. Charlotte Osei, and her deputies from office. The bar saw no basis to speak out about compliance with due process. But in recent times, the bar found its voice when petitions based upon the same constitutionally defined procedures were brought in respect of the removal from office of the former Chief Justice, Mrs. Gertrude Araba Torkon. Ladies and gentlemen, the honest question we have to ask ourselves is, what changed? The three petitions aforementioned touch and concern office holders of three constitutional bodies critical to the sustenance of our democracy. The independence of the three institutions has been guaranteed by the Constitution. The three occupants were all women of significant repute and members of our noble profession. The three committees established pursuant to Article 146 complied with the constitutional procedure to the letter. And yet, the bar found its voice only in relation to the third petition. Coincidentally, the voice of the bar amplified the voice of the opposition.
You heard there the Attorney General. So let's head over to the Upper West region where our correspondent Rafiq Salam is there for more. So Rafiq, what's the GBA's reaction to the AG's critique?
The GBA's president, Ms. Efogati, responds to what the Attorney General stated was quick. He says that she has no problem with the usage of Article 146, but she thinks that they have a problem with the processes involved. Let's listen to her.
But the bar's major concern relates to the process. In the absence of specific rules of procedure, the sketchy process potentially lends itself to arbitrariness and a lack of fairness. Hence, the bar's resolution on the matter, which was as follows. The Ghana Bar Association hereby also calls for the immediate enactment of clear and comprehensive regulations relating to matters under Article 146 of the Constitution of the Republic of Ghana to ensure transparency, accountability, and fairness in all proceedings involving Superior Court justice, particularly in the context of the impeachment or removal of such officers. This resolution was passed and publicized by 30th April 2025. However, no rules were produced. It is commonly said that justice should not only be done, but manifestly be seen to have been done. The lack of an enactment for such rules in the case of the removal of the fourth highest person in the nation should be a matter of concern for all of us. These rules should have been known to all and sundry before the commencement of the process, as it greatly affects the standard to be met. It ends up being an unfortunate precedent which lacks fairness, a situation that calls for redress, if indeed we are custodians of justice.
Well, Rafiq is still with us. So, Rafiq, who else has been speaking at the conference?
We have the Acting Chief Justice, who was not present, but his speech was read by a Justice of the Supreme Court, Justice Afisata, and another speaker was Dr. Benjamin Kumbul, who happens to be the Chairman of the Governing Council of SDDU, the host, the venue for the conference. And then also we have the Upper West Region Minister, Lawyer Charles Wonga-Poson, also speaking here.
Okay. So we know the president was invited. Have you spotted him there, Rafiq?
The president, we are told, will not be coming for now, for today. The person who is standing in for him is a deputy chief of staff in the person of Nana Oye Bampo.
Thank you so very much, Rafiq Salam. He is our Upper West Regional Correspondent. Moving on this afternoon, government is escalating its fight against illegal mining with a new strategy to establish permanent military bases within forest reserves and along major river bodies across the country. According to government data, 44 forest reserves were classified as endangered, with 9 declared no-go zones. These zones had become extremely dangerous, not only because of its extensive environmental degradation, but also due to the threat posed to security operatives by the illegal miners, who often resisted enforcement with violence. While speaking on the Super Morning Show earlier today, Government Communications Minister Felix Kwachifusu explained the move is intended to secure reclaimed sites and also prevent illegal miners from returning after security operations.
There's also the Responsible Community Mining Project, which essentially hands over some disused mines by lawful mining companies to the youth so that they can engage in responsible mining that is monitored, that does not affect the environment, and be able to make money decently as opposed to going into this dangerous work of galamsey. So I think that we all need to establish, we need to be clear that even as we take steps to fight it, those who are engaged in it still find reason to go back. But and sometimes I said that the Galam Safer has to be an eternal fight. It was taken out of context to mean that we will never win it. But we have to maintain eternal vigilance. That is why, as part of the efforts going forward, all those places that have been reclaimed, the soldiers and the security forces won't leave. They will set up permanent camps to ensure that people don't come. At least the 44 forest reserves that were endangered. And all the river areas, riverine areas of Ghana will have permanent security presence to ensure that people do not come back. And that will be rolled out in the coming days, actually.
Well, he further stated that while government intensifies efforts to fight illegal mining activities, President John Mahama never gave timelines to end in the menace.
Those whose activities are leading to these deterioration in stability levels are being checked. They are being held in check through the processes and systems that I have outlined. So it will take a bit of time to be able to win the war overall. Nobody is under any delusion. Of course, I've heard people say that, oh, in the past, there were some members of the NDC who said, oh, Galam Safer could be won over in a week or a month or so. The president,
Sam George.
Yes, but the president didn't give any such timeline. You see, yes, Sam George is a prominent member of the NDC. He carries weight. What he says goes far, no doubt about it. But I think that, to be fair, if you want to assess a president, you take him by his own words, his own actions, the commitments that he made. President Mahama did not give any timeline to ending Galam Safer. And he said it at the media encounter, I think, as a follow-up to your, in answer to your question, that he was not under any illusion that overnight, by the wave of magic wand, Galam Safer will end, because it is an insidious problem.
Well, let's stay on government's effort against illegal mining. This time, brother of late President John Evans Atta Mills, who is Cardman Atta Mills, has fired at President John Mahama and government's effort to end in the menace. In an ex-post made yesterday, he said he refuses to pay the accolades President Mahama and the NDC is receiving for the city's recovery with his health or life. Call it Ganamse or legal small-scale mining, when brokered by the politically connected, it is killing. Stop Galamse Now, that's the hashtag he used. And the post was accompanied with a 1 minute, 30 seconds video of the polluted Ayensu River. Let's stay on the fight against illegal mining. Coalition Against Galamse Ghana has intensified pressure on President Mahama, urging him to immediately declare a state of emergency in areas devastated by illegal mining. The group says the president's recent remarks on the matter fell short of the urgency required, describing his response as deeply disappointing in the face of an escalating national crisis. Convener of the group, Ken Ashibi, says the destruction of rivers, forests and farmlands by illegal mining has crossed the threshold of what the Constitution defines as an emergency. Dr. Ashibi insists government reliance on committees, statements and piecemeal actions is inadequate given the scale of the problem.
We are beyond the last resort. And His Excellency, Mr. President, please, you should immediately declare a state of emergency. And again, we are very clear about it. In parts of the country, not in all of the country, not in the entire district, but in parts of the country that required to save Ghanaians as prescribed by the Constitution. A constitution you have agreed to uphold. The president must provide the nation with milestones and timelines to serve as a guide for continued action and demonstration of the government's commitment. Just to tell us that a committee has been formed, it's not adequate. We need a lot of transparency. We need a lot of details so that, as the Constitution says, sovereignty resides with the people. We then, again, as the Constitution says, you, the media, are supposed to hold the government to the account of the people. You can take these milestones and timelines to be able to support government itself, ensure that these milestones that are given are kept.
So that was Ken Ashibi there, and my colleague Ken was at the press conference where these statements were made. What else did he say, Ken?
Well, so the group has welcomed the creation of the Natural Resources and Environmental Security Agency, describing it as a step in the right direction. However, they warn that establishing an office is meaningless if it lacks the funding, personnel and logistics needed to confront illegal mining head-on.
Thank you.
The president, in operationalizing the KPIs he has given to all MCEs and DCEs in Galam Safer endemic areas, should dismiss any MCE or DCE who has Galam Safer still happening in their district or in the municipality for incompetence. they should be investigated for complicity in these environmental crimes. The same should apply to the police and the National Investigative Bureau commanders in this district and municipality. If they are still in there representing the president, and Galamse is still happening, and we've not heard them screaming out loud for support, then they are either incompetent or complicit or both. The establishment of NIMOS is a positive step, but the president must urgently provide it with adequate resources to address environmental destruction caused by mining.
Let's take you to the Savannah region, where police in Damongo have arrested and detained two men in connection with the burning of two tipper trucks in a compound house belonging to an entrepreneur at Kalba, a suburb of the Sola Tuna Kalba district there. The incident, which occurred on Friday, was confirmed to join news by the district chief executive of the area, David Timna. The development comes as authorities prepare to officially close the Sola camp, which has been hosting more than 48,000 people who were displaced by the protracted conflicts in the area. So let's cross over and speak to our regional correspondent, Isaac Nyonya. Isaac, how has this particular incident affected the community, especially those who are already displaced by the conflict?
Well, it has gone to the extent that some majority of these people have relocated outside the region, with a handful of them still around. And there are those that you can find at the Sola camp.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I will some of the women returning to the community like Benjiri and Sanchire and other surrounding communities. The community like Benjiri and Kalaba, you don't have anybody particularly at Kalaba. Benjiri, we can talk about some 30 women. The number has reduced to 30 women and children. The old men who were there have equally left back to the camp.
We can barely hear you.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, what I was trying to put across is that the people who mostly left their homes have now found themselves outside the region. I will let's say that some of others who were at outside Upper West and then somewhere who located to Upper West and then somewhere Bono region, a good number of them who are mostly women have come back. And there were those that we thought were going to stay. And overnight, they came back to the Sola camp. We are told by the Ghana Red Cross Society officials that most of them left overnight due to information that officials were going to close the camp.
Yeah. So
what
about...
we got in touch with the DC of the area, Sola Tuna Kalba,
mm-hmm.
he said yes, the camps will close, but they are doing it gradually to extend that people will willingly to leave and get back to relocate to their communities. I will speak now. The community like Benjiri and Kalaba, predominantly the Bifo communities, they are not there. We have a handful of 30. Initially, there were 35 at Benjiri who were located to Benjiri.
Okay.
Some two elderly men and then women and children. We are told the number has reduced to 30. For Kalaba, you can't get any soul there apart from the chief palace.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Isaac Nyonya. He is our Savannah regional correspondent. Meanwhile, as he told us, some residents of Benjiri who fled into neighboring Ivory Coast over recent conflict in the area say they will consider government's call for them to return to Ghana immediately. The Foreign Affairs Minister, Samuel Okudzeto-Ablakwa, who paid a visit to the refugee camp in Ivory Coast, assured the residents that calm had been restored to the community, hence the need for them to return. That's more from our diplomatic desk correspondent, Blaise Soga.
Addressing the gathering, Foreign Affairs Minister Samuel Okudzeto-Ablakwa says it is time for the refugees to return, adding that President John Mahama has set in motion further measures to de-escalate tension.
Census that has been conducted indicates about 5,309. That means that more than half have returned. We want to encourage all of you to return. President Mahama, as Commander-in-Chief of the Ghana Armed Forces, has put in place a number of measures, massive security deployment, committee set up to mediate between the traditional leaders on all sides, and calm has been restored.
When asked if they were ready to return, one of the refugees who spoke on behalf of his friends and family says they are still living in fear, notwithstanding their desire to return home.
We are willing to come back. Why? Because there is our normal habitat. But for how the situation is, it makes us we fear.
In the meantime, Ivorian authorities say they are willing to provide temporary relief until such a time that will be deemed conducive for the refugees to return.
And with that, we take a short break on the midday news. When we come back, the education minister, Haruna Idrisu, declines use of bulletproof vests as he visits WASI centers in conflict-hit parts of the Upper East region during the final week of the 2025 exams. He's meanwhile urged calm, stressing the peace is the only guarantee for children to learn without fear.
I decline to wear it, not because I don't value or cherish my life, because I value yours. It was to send a signal that bulletproof doesn't belong to an academic learning environment.
This time with sports.
Yes, Hannah. So Ghana's national 100 meters record holder Abdul Rashid Saminu missed out on the finals after placing fourth in his semi-final heat at the World Athletics Championships in Tokyo. The 27-year-old, who was making his debut at the championships, clocked 10.08 seconds. Meanwhile, Benjamin Azamati also bowed out earlier, finishing sixth in the opening round. Now, up next for Team Ghana is the men's 800 meters on Tuesday, where Alex Amankwa will be in action. I don't know why Fred Smith wants me to talk about Arsenal, because they've won.
You'll have to say it. Well, just appease him, that's all.
Well, okay, fine.
Let's go to the three-day Ecobank Join News Habitat Mini Fair at the Accra Mall. I must tell you, it ended on a high note, plus a surprise appearance from TGMA Artist of the Year Kin Promise. Organizers say this success sets the stage for an even bigger fair in October. My colleague Jacqueline Asomoyeboa has more.
The fair brought together more than 20 exhibitors offering everything from building materials and financing solutions to home decor. Head of marketing at the Multimedia Group, Max Fuga, explained that the mini clinics are just a build up to the main Habitat Fair in October.
The clients are happy, the patrons are happy, and so we can say that our objectives for the period has been achieved. We are just gearing up towards the main fair, which is from October 22nd to 26th. At Accra International Conference Center.
Excited patrons throng the venue, many walking away with discounted products and services.
It's a good experience. You come, you see various items you'll be interested in.
Yeah, all the stuff that the exhibitors propose are really interesting.
For exhibitors, the Accra Mall Clinic capped off a rewarding series.
Ever since we started joining Joy News Habitat Fair, it has been great. We get referrals, people coming in saying they heard of us, they came to our show, they came to our exhibition.
And adding a touch, reigning TGMA artist Kin Promise made a surprise appearance to check out the exhibit, sending the crowd into a frenzy.
I'm working on a couple of projects, so it was only right I came to check.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.